Back on the No Panic Zone on a Wednesday. One of the things we've been talking about here for quite some time now are the supply chains of pharmaceuticals. And digging deeply, we have found that the FDA, the commissioner was here on the program, in fact, talking to us about it here just a couple of days ago. The FDA would find impurities in drugs being imported from China and say, okay, those don't pass quality control, those are banned. And then realizing, well, we can't ban those drugs because we have no alternative source. It's a real big problem. A real big problem that my next guest has been looking closely into for some time. In fact, Rosemary Gibson says Congress is ignoring U.S. dependence on Chinese drugs in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Rosemary Gibson is a senior advisor at the Hastings Center and perspectives editor at JAMA Internal Medicine. Rosemary, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me this morning.
That being the Journal of the American Medical Association, for those of you scoring at home. Have I overstated the problem?
We're dependent on China for thousands of the ingredients in basic medicines we need every single day in our healthcare system under normal circumstances.
Right. Give me an idea, Rosemary. So when you say medicines, give the listeners, some may know, some may not. Give me a rundown of some of the medicines that are pretty common, ubiquitous, really, in our society that people take every day that we are supply chaining out of China that we have a problem potentially with if China just turns off the spigot. Go.
Well, we can't make penicillin anymore. We can't make vitamin C. We can't make aspirin. We've lost our manufacturing to make virtually all of our generic antibiotics, the medicines you give to your children for ear infections, for that you might take for bronchitis or strep throat or pneumonia, or if you're hospitalized with sepsis, a really serious bloodstream infection. We can't make them here anymore. China engaged in illegal trade practices. The data is very clear, and so we lost our manufacturing. The companies couldn't survive because they're competing not with companies in China. They're competing with the Chinese government, which subsidizes.
If I'm not mistaken, the last plant that made penicillin, now we haven't used penicillin in the United States in 25 years, however.
Oh, we do. Oh, sure. We use variations
hold on.
Of penicillin.
Right,
sure, we do.
Variations. That's what I was going to sure, clarify. Sure. I know that. I received penicillin directly in 2016 for an infection, but I was in New Zealand at the time that I got injured. And they still use it there. The United States doesn't use penicillin pure, but it's the baseline for several
correct,
other antibiotics, correct? So the last plant, my understanding, went out of business in New York State in 2004 because the Chinese illegal trade practices, as you mentioned, flooded the market with antibiotics and crushed the price, bankrupted them, right?
That's exactly right. What they did was they, and I wrote this in the book China Rx, Exposing the Risks of America's Dependence on China for Medicine, the first book that exposed all of this, and that's why we're all talking about China and our medicines, because it was hidden from us for so many years. What they did, you're absolutely right, they dumped it on the market, they kept the price really low for 4 years, and companies around the world went out of business. And once they got global, you know, dominant market share, then they raised the price.
Now, does any other country make penicillin now? Because I understand that you need a fermentation unit. It takes about 2 years on a short calendar to create penicillin. It's not like we can go out and start today and have it tomorrow. It doesn't work that way, does it?
For some of these medicines, you're absolutely right. There is a plant in Europe that produces penicillin. They have fermentation capability. And there are plants in other countries. It's not clear that they would meet FDA inspections. But then there are some whole groups of antibiotics that China is virtually the sole source. So some people who are hospitalized with coronavirus, they'd be seriously ill. Fortunately, it's a really small number, percentage. 90% of the ingredients to make those critical drugs, we depend on China for.
We outsource all of it. And then you go to the, a little aside to all of that, the computer board, the boards, the electronic boards that go into ventilators also come from China. And it's also very difficult to make because of rare earth elements. That's just an aside to everything else.
Well, what happened with why we have a shortage of ventilators is because China stopped shipping the circuit boards.
That's what I'm saying. The electronic boards, the circuit boards, which we can't just make because we need rare earth elements. So we have all sorts of trouble with China. And when it comes to, so let me ask you this, Rose.
Yes.
We'll get back to more of this, but obviously this has to change. This is a wake-up call for America. You know, at the end of 2019, according to Johns Hopkins University, America was best situated to deal with a pandemic. Before any of this started, they went around the world, looked at every country. America was best prepared for a pandemic. Well, we are, unless China says, no, we're going to turn our ships around and take our masks and our PPE gear and our penicillin back to China. And then what do we have? We're held hostage by China. And that's the sort of thing that triggers a war. And we don't need that. So we need to figure out how to create these things. We need to figure out how to be made in America, don't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, you don't have to fire a missile or start a war. Just withhold antibiotics from a country. An infectious disease spreads wild. Bacterial infections.
Right, and that turns into a shooting war, is my point. I'm here with Rosemary Gibson. She wrote the book China RX, Exposing the Risks of America's Dependence on China for Medicine. Now let's talk about a couple of other things. We found out that illegal trade practices caused China to get an advantage, put companies not only in America but around the world out of business, and therefore they become lord and master over those drugs and therefore over those countries if they need those things. But then when you find drugs coming in from China that are full of impurities or things that shouldn't be there or wouldn't meet FDA standards, and you say we can't take those anymore, and then realize, well, wait a second, we have no alternative, so we take drugs that wouldn't normally meet our standards because we have no choice. I also learned that, correct?
That's right. And look what's happening now with the FDA. They recalled their inspectors from China because of coronavirus. It's going to be a long time before anybody from the FDA gets back over there, and those are volunteer jobs. You and I, would, if we worked for the FDA, we'd have to volunteer to go. Who's going to want to volunteer to do that for the foreseeable future? So basically, we are in a deregulated environment. We're making drugs. We're taking drugs made in China, and there's no oversight there.
No safer than street drugs.
Let's hope that the manufacturer is making them. Somebody's doing something. But let's put it this way. Our standards are dropping. This globalization has been a form of deregulation.
Right. And it's a matter of national security.
Absolutely.
It is a matter of national security. If we can't get ourselves enough penicillin or aspirin or vitamin C, we can't get except from China. I can't believe that was on the list.
That's right. That was another cartel they formed. Whole court case on that. When we have more time, we can talk. It was a deliberate strategy, a deliberate plan for China to undermine our economic system. It's not an overstatement.
Right.
Have me back on. We can talk about China's vitamin C cartel.
We've got plenty of time. I can hold you right through the break. If you'd like to hang on and talk through the break, we can do that.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, hold on. Rosemary Gibson here, author, China RX, Exposing the Risks of America's Dependence on China for Medicine. We're just getting started. It is a shocking expose on how we have allowed getting cheap TVs and cheap tennis shoes to cloud our minds and prevent us from having the supply chains we need in case of emergency. It's a matter of national security. It's a matter of your health. We're talking about it in the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
Okay to Say can change that. Okay to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the Okay to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the Okay to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say. Because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.